Good morning. My name is Johnny Pozzo, and I'm the pastor here at New Morden Baptist Church. And I welcome you with special celebratory greetings. He is risen, and happy Easter to you all. I want to start with a question. Do you believe in miracles? Today we celebrate the greatest miracle of all. Even Errol Brown believed in miracles. I believe in miracles since you came along, my Lord and Savior. Oh, man. But do you believe in miracles? It's an important question. Because today, Easter is about celebrating the greatest miracle that ever took place. But how can we have confidence that Jesus truly did die and rise again from the dead? I want to read you some verses from 1 Corinthians 15, the words of the Apostle Paul. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle. Paul gives us a number of reasons why we can have complete confidence in the resurrection of Jesus. He starts by reminding us in verse 4 that we can have confidence because of the Scriptures. Jesus' birth, his death, and his resurrection had all been predicted in the Old Testament hundreds of years before. But even more powerful were the words of Jesus himself. When the ladies met the angel at the tomb, he said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you." Of course, he mentioned to his disciples and to his followers a number of occasions when what would happen in the coming days. In Mark, it's recorded, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, by the chief priests and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again." Even to the religious leaders, he showed them what was going to take place. On one occasion in John chapter 2, verse 18, they were demanding that Jesus did miracles to prove who he was. Jesus replied, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." "It's taken 46 years to build this temple," they mocked, "and you are going to raise it in 3 days?" Jesus was, of course, talking about his body. Paul says we can have confidence in the resurrection because of the Scriptures. Secondly, we can have confidence in the resurrection because of the empty tomb. The body wasn't there when the women went to anoint it. Maybe there's an explanation. Maybe the Roman authorities stole the body, or the Pharisees stole it. But if that was the case, surely when Jesus' followers began to say that he had risen from the dead, that all they needed to do was to produce the body of Jesus to show how wrong these followers of Jesus were. But maybe the disciples stole the body. Possible. They had the most to lose, as it were. But when you consider that, 10 out of the remaining 11 disciples died for their faith and their belief that Jesus died and rose again, do you think they would really die for a lie if they knew it wasn't true? Would you die for something they knew wasn't true? Or maybe Jesus didn't actually die on the cross. Maybe he just passed out. Maybe he fainted because of the pain. And then a couple of days later, he woke up in the tomb, and after feeling so much better, he rolled the stone away and went on his merry way. And then he went to live in India. Maybe. Paul tells us that we can have complete confidence that Jesus rose again from the dead because of the empty tomb. But he tells us too, there were the witnesses in verses 5 to 8. After Jesus' death, he appeared alive on 12 separate occasions to at least 550 different people. You could say, well, maybe it was mass hallucination. Maybe. But you know, the one thing that just confirms it to me more than anything is the changed lives, the transformed lives of, firstly, the disciples. Something phenomenal happened to them. Following Jesus' arrest, they all ran away. They hid. But 40 days after Jesus had risen from the grave, there they were, boldly, courageously, publicly declaring that Jesus was alive and well. And then, of course, there are millions of believers who've put their faith and trust in Jesus since those early disciples. Millions who have testified that they've encountered the risen Christ. You see, the one big thing between Christianity and all the other religions is this: it's relationship. Christianity isn't about following a set of rules and regulations. It's about a living relationship with the risen Christ. It's about ordinary people like you and me who've encountered the risen Christ on our journey. Like Paul, I can have that same assurance and confidence that this miracle truly did happen. But what does the resurrection mean to you and me today? What does it mean that Jesus is alive for us today? Three things. The resurrection proves that Jesus is divine. The fact that Jesus died on the cross does not prove in itself that he is God. Jesus proved his deity by not only dying, but dying and being raised again. There were many people who died on a cross. It was quite a popular form of barbaric torture at the time. But there was no one else who died and rose again. Jesus both died and rose from the dead. Secondly, the resurrection demonstrates Jesus' power over sin and death. We all like to think that we have power and control over our lives and the things that we do, the places we go, and the people we become. Sadly, that's not really the truth. We have very little control about the things that happen. Much of our power or wisdom or strength that we believe we have is just an illusion. But Jesus, he has all power. He has all control over all things, even sin and death. And thirdly, the resurrection affirms that Jesus' authority to assure forgiveness and eternal life to all who accept his gift of salvation. In other words, because he lives, we will live forever too. You see, it's not about what we do, it's about what he has done for us through his death and through his resurrection. Church, today we find ourselves in a most bizarre time. We join with much of the world in temporary lockdown. And it's a time of confusion and uncertainty and doubt for many. It's a time of fear and anxiety and a time of pain and suffering for many. It's much like that very first Easter weekend. Good Friday was a day of pain and suffering. On that day, Jesus experienced every pain that's possible to experience. He experienced mental and emotional pain, the anguish of having to go through what he had to go through. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, "Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but your will be done." He experienced relational pain. His friends, the disciples, they all left him. And they even denied knowing him. He experienced physical pain, of course. The beatings and the torture were enough to kill many men. But he experienced crucifixion, the most barbaric form of torture. And of course, he experienced ultimate pain. He took upon himself the sin of mankind. And he was separated from the Father because of it. Good Friday was indeed a day of pain and suffering. Easter Saturday was a day of doubt and confusion and uncertainty for his followers. We weren't expecting it to end like this. He was going to rescue us. He was going to deliver us from the Romans. How did we get it so wrong? If they killed him, surely they will come for us. So much doubt, so much confusion, so much anxiety. But Easter Saturday led into Easter Sunday. And on Easter Sunday, the miracle happened. Jesus died and rose again. It's a day of celebration. It's a day of joy. It's a day of victory. And we, his people, the church, share in this special day and this special miracle. Because he lives, we live too. Because he lives, he is able. The writer of the Hebrews says, because he lives, he is able. He's able to save us completely. He's able to deliver us and redeem us. You remember in the Old Testament when God's people found themselves in captivity and slavery in Egypt. And God's plan was to send Moses to deliver his people. And there were a number of different ways in which he tried to get Pharaoh's attention. But the final way was by killing all the firstborn in Egypt. But God said to his people, I want you to kill a lamb, and then I want you to put its blood on the doorposts of your houses. So when the angel of death passes over, when it sees the blood, it won't come into the house. They celebrate that every year. They call it the Passover meal. They celebrate it just this last Thursday. It's what Jesus was celebrating with his disciples the night before he was crucified. Of course, when John the Baptist saw Jesus, he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is our Passover Lamb. He is able, because he lives, to deliver us from whatever we face today, whatever we face in the coming weeks and months and years, he is able to save, to deliver, to redeem, and to take us to be with him forever. That is the miracle of Easter. Christ died and rose again. Hallelujah. May we pray. Father God, we thank you that you love the world so much that you gave your son Jesus to not only die, but to live for us. And Lord, we thank you because he lives that we live too. We thank you that because he died and rose again, that he is able to save us, to deliver us, to redeem us, and to take us to be with him forever. We thank you for this miracle, and we thank you for the truth of it, and we pray you give us the faith and the courage to live in the fullness of that miracle. In Jesus' name, amen.